As we get the state of the sorghum checkoff, we're joined by Adam Baldwin of McPherson, Kansas. He's vice chairman of the board. And Adam, right now, it is a great time to be a sorghum farmer.
Well, it sure is. You know, sorghum kind of struggled with acres there for several years. But given the fact we had some increased demand globally, the market responded. We increased acres and then tied that into with excellent weather. Across the sorghum belt, we have a record production this year. Net acres expansion, 24% increase nationally, but we've expanded into new regions, specifically the Delta and Oklahoma, which is now the number three sorghum producing state, had a 24% increase.
As we look at exports, you guys are boosting your exports right now. What are the key markets and what's really driving this demand?
Well, in 2014, the only true market we had going was China. They just were able to bid at a level that other countries and domestic users weren't able to compete with. And while it's always nice to receive highly elevated prices for your crop, there's also a point of you want a sustainable price. And we didn't have a sustainable price last year to be, in my area, 40 cents to a dollar over corn, depending where you're at or during the time of year, because we really want to have a basket of end users. And so we have China will continue to be a market driver, but now Mexico, which had been our number one export market, is now back in, as well as Central and South America. Ethanol, which had been a primary user of sorghum pre-2014, you know, they had got bid out of the market. They're back in the market buying, as well as livestock users. The domestic human food market is one that we're starting to expand, 3 million bushel increase going into the food industry, as well as we're starting to expand into pet food.
And what's kind of driving kind of that added demand and bringing in the consumer side, also the pet side? What's driving the demand for sorghum in those markets?
Well, I'd like to think it's a little bit the actions of the checkoff. You know, there is push-pull markets, and we're kind of taking both approaches, where we're trying to influence the influencers to show them the benefits of sorghum. The fact that there are, you know, these are kind of catch terms, but you know, ancient grain, gluten free, those are all things where sorghum has a benefit, and that's a label that we can successfully identify ourselves with. But I just think it's the fact too, you know, you can sell it as drought tolerant. It's a very sustainable crop. I think that's just what consumers, especially when you think of those more foodie type of people, they really like. And we hope that as people realize the health benefits of sorghum, they'll translate that into maybe desiring that to give their pets, and we can expand in that pet food market as well.
In terms of increasing growth and demand domestically or internationally, you know, what's next for sorghum? What are some of the new markets?
Well, like I said, the food market, pet food, those are the ones we're going to try to keep expanding and expanding exports as much as we can. You know, we had, like I said, a big increase in acres and big yields, and we have to find some way to move those bushels. And you got livestock, you got ethanol, exports, and then some of those, the food and pet food angle. There's also, I guess, industrial uses too, which I have failed to mention. But, you know, we're just doing everything we can to invest producers' dollars to maximize their profitability.
And Adam, on your farm, how did your sorghum crop turn out this year?
It actually, we had a really good year. We normally plant our sorghum late, which means June, early June, mid-June. And we were able to take advantage of some late rains where we actually, our sorghum out-yielded our dry land corn. We could have had a couple more late rains, we would have had incredible sorghum. I know we probably had like a farm average around 110, 115, but if you went 20 miles north of us, I mean, you're talking 140, 150 pretty consistently. So I think, you know, there's kind of a thought process sometimes that sorghum maybe doesn't have the top end yield. And I think for an area like Kansas, dry land, and Oklahoma, where, you know, we're not going to be growing 200 bushel dryland corn consistently, that sorghum has a really good fit.
Appreciate the time as we've been joined by Adam Baldwin. He's the vice chairman of the board for the Sorghum Checkoff, a farmer from McPherson, Kansas. Bring you coverage from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City. For the Radio Oklahoma Network, I'm Leslie Smith.